Believer's Authority, part three. You have a choice. Some of y'all didn't know that. God gave us this ability, this incredible gift of choosing life or death, blessing, curses. That's our choice. We get that every single day. God is not the one making our everyday decisions. We're doing that. And he's leading us, but we make our everyday choices, our everyday decisions. You have that choice to follow his will and his word for your life. That's yours. But if you follow it, it's the best decision that you can ever make. But it's not going to be easy. But it definitely will change your perspective on how he is grooming you and leading you into his purpose. In Psalms 32, if you got your Bibles open up there, this is the Passion Translation, but so you can look. Not too many people carry the Passion Translation in their Bibles, but he says, I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've not been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. You know, there's that ongoing joke. You know, I had somebody must said, you know, I had a drug problem growing up. My parents drug me to church every Sunday. How many of y'all can relate to that? Parents, I said, every. Our youth nights were on Friday nights. So I didn't get to watch Friday night football. Watch my brothers and cousins play. I was in youth group with my other brothers and my dad preaching to us. Wonderful. But I'm thankful for it because evidently God had a plan for my life. God is not going to lead you astray when it comes to your life choices. His plan and his will for your life will always benefit you, your family, and his kingdom. So it takes true humility to be able to sit down and yield to him when you can't really truly see it physically. How do I know this is going to be what you said it was going to be? How do I know that this is going to work out the way you said it was going to work out? See, life is a journey. It has a lot of challenges, twists and turns, heartache and trouble. But if you stay connected to the main source and stay connected to the one true God, his will for your life will come to pass. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is what most people don't realize what God is about. He wants everyone to come to repentance. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. The Apostle Paul even said about himself, he was the chief sinner. He went around persecuting and putting people in jail just for believing in the name of Jesus. And yet, God had a plan for him. So if you ever think that somebody is just down and out, never think that. You never judge a book by its cover, right? We've heard that expression. And you don't understand what God has already written in that person's life. They just need the right type of people to come in and share the word of God with them. Not just share it, but demonstrate it. Amen? God wants you to come to him through Jesus. He commands all men to come to repentance and to be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ. God wants everyone to know the truth about Jesus and about what he's done for you and what he has given you. How do you do it? Simply by believing in the name of Jesus. The gospel. The gospel and the power of God go hand in hand. That's what Jesus did. He taught and he healed. He preached and he healed. He delivered. He set free. He raised the dead. You know, even when it came to John, people say your mouth can get you in trouble. Sometimes your mouth can really, really get you in trouble. I said, you know, John's mouth got him in trouble. John the Baptist. Because he called out Herod. But there is some righteous indignation that you're supposed to have. And sometimes saying those types of things will get you into trouble with the wrong type of people. But it is something that needed to be said. Sometimes you just have people like, you know, certain governments and things of that nature that may not like what you're talking about. So we know what happened with John. But John sent his disciples to ask whether Jesus was the one to come or shall we wait for another? But the thing is that John already had testified to about Jesus. He already got said, behold, here comes the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. He's telling his disciples as Jesus is walking by. Now he's in a dire need. He's desperate because he doesn't know whether or not he's going to come save him. Jesus is going to come save him. Is God going to come get him out of that situation? Well, he didn't. But the thing is that Jesus told John and told John's disciples, he says, go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind eyes are open, the lame walk, the mute talk, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor. See, the thing is, all that stuff goes hand in hand. The power, the sharing the gospel, the preaching the word, and the power goes hand in hand with the gospel. It always goes hand in hand. In Luke 9, verse 1 and 2, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Power and over all demons and to cure diseases. See, it's like, man, listen, how many of you like peanut butter sandwiches? Just peanut butter. How many of you like just jelly sandwiches? How many of you like peanut butter and jelly? See, it goes hand in hand. See, there is more hands for the peanut butter and jelly than there was for peanut butter and there was for jelly. I used to like ketchup and mustard sandwiches and just that, sugar sandwiches. You got to pinch the side so it don't fall out. That's why I have 800 cavities. Not. Put my cup now. I'm getting cues over here. I'm trying to promote something here, you notice? Preaching and doing a commercial now. The full armor of God. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He gave them power over demons and to cure diseases. No disease was left untouched when it came to Jesus, when it comes to his disciples. The power of God heals every last one of them. None was left untouched. You know, there are so many translations out there, and I was reading every single translation as far as that was on my phone. And it says, he preached the kingdom of God and healed the sick. It didn't leave it out. It was the peanut butter and the jelly coming together. It goes hand in hand. Sharing the gospel of the kingdom of God that's alive in you and healing those that you encounter is the norm in the body of Christ. That's not something, oh, that's just spectacular. No, that's norm. That's just like breathing. That's the norm. The supernatural life of a Christian is the norm. There's a difference between believers, the body of Christ, and other religions. It's the power of God. They don't have it. Jesus didn't give it to them because all power and authority was given to him, and he gives it to us. In Jude 1:25, it says, all glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, all glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and is beyond all time. You know, sometimes there's an ongoing debate in our house about our kids' athleticism, where it comes from. And I'm like, duh. But it came from both. There's no doubt about it where the power of God comes from. It comes from Jesus. It comes from him. It comes through his word. It comes through the Holy Spirit. All power and authority is his, and he chooses to give that to us. It was his before, in the present, and beyond all time. There's no end to it. And do you really think the enemy can stop what God wants to do through you? He can't. Everything you need in life has been freely given to you. Your deliverance was paid for. Your healing was paid for. Your breakthrough for your company has already been paid for. Your problems in your marriage, Jesus has already given you the answer to it, but you have to receive these things by faith. He's already given you the answer. He's already seen your problem years ago from the beginning of time. Everything that God is going to do for you, he's already done it. And we receive these things by faith. You know, I sometimes watch these artists online, people painting. You know, when they already have the image in their mind. They already know what they're getting ready to do, what they're going to paint, and what have you, and then they'll start drawing. They'll start painting it, dipping. They'll have three or four brushes in their hands just to. I've seen somebody do it, paint like this, and then do stuff with their feet and make four different paintings like that. I was like, what in the world? But in the time and that process, the whole process that they're painting, they're creating this masterpiece, but it's not yet a masterpiece. You know, you can swipe on over and watch something else and leave that video or whatever the case may be. And sometimes we do this in our life. We don't know what God is working out. We don't know what's going on. And yet he's still painting this. He's got this masterpiece already painting, but you haven't fully seen it yet. And then all of a sudden, once that painting is done, they take it and flip it on over. Boom. Well, I didn't know he was painting so-and-so. I didn't know he was painting this musician. I didn't know he was painting a picture of Jesus. It was upside down the whole time. And then he just flipped it over. You know that all things work together for good? For those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. We don't know what God is doing in our lives at times. It's like, Lord, I don't understand this. Just wait until it's done. Then you can flip it over. And you're going to say, oh, I never would have thought of that. I never would have went that way, but God knew it. But he's still painting it. And see, and throughout our lives, we're going to have these portraits in our lives, these snapshots of him painting. We've had several going along. And now, here's another one. You've already been through all the other stuff. It's the same thing. Lord, what are you painting now? Now we can just sit there and watch. We can rest in that. Because I know, God, you're getting ready to work something good. You're getting to work all things together for my good. Because I love you. And I'm called according to your purpose. Just wait till he flips it. Jesus, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We know that. That's past tense. He's not going to do it. He's already done it. I know God is going to heal me. I know God will do it. Your trust is in the Lord, but your faith ain't there. That's hope. Your faith is missing. When you're saying, I know God is going to do it, that's hope. But when you say, when you switch it up and say, I know God has already done it, now that's faith in what Jesus has done. Hope is future tense. Faith is now, based upon what already has happened. Jesus is not going to get back on that cross for you. That's a one-time deal. So when we rest in understanding that God has already done it, that assures us, man, there's nothing that I can't receive from him. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and you receive every spiritual blessing by faith in Jesus, not in ours, his. Hope is a good thing, but hope is future tense, and hope deferred can make the, come on, faith is now. It takes that woman with the issue of blood. She took it. For she said within herself, if I may what? Touch the hem of his garment. She said that. Nobody had to tell her that. She wasn't saying, I hope I can touch it. You know, if there was a lot of people, if there weren't all these people around, and then I can probably get up there. And no. If I may touch the hem of his garment, and she made her way through that crowd, making everybody unclean in there, touching everyone, according to the Levitical law. She didn't care. She had to get hers. But she was the only one that drew from the power because of her faith. And at the same time, Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. Come and heal my daughter. My daughter is sick. Can you come heal her? Can you come lay hands on her and she will be healed? And as this woman comes to touch the hem of his garment, Jesus gets distracted for a little bit. And then after all that stuff was done and how he said, your faith has made you whole. Here comes Jairus' servants. Don't bother the teacher. Don't bother him. Why? Your daughter's dead. And Jesus says, don't give up. You hold on to that. What you said before, you hold on to that. We're going. See, sometimes we think that somebody may cut in our life. I said, listen, the power of God doesn't just stop at one person. One person got my healing. Oh, I got my healing. Ooh, praise God. I got my healing for today. And then, well, what about mine? No, there's still power there. Because faith takes it. The violent taketh by force. Faith takes this. Your trust in God is important. But if you just ride that elevator just a little longer, you're going to realize that there's another floor. You got that hope. You're hoping you're going to get up to the top. But faith is knowing I'm going to get there. Knowing we're going to get to the other side. Knowing we're going to come out of this other storm. And yet we come out of that storm and we're running and we're walking right into another storm. God is developing you. Three things when it comes to the storms. Y'all hear me say this? You're either in a storm, you're coming from a storm, or you're getting ready to go into another one. When does it ever stop? It doesn't. Because Jesus says, while you're in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But not to fear, for he's overcome this world. Now, if you believe in him, you are an overcomer. So it's going to be trial after trial after trial after trial. But guess what? He's given you power. He's given you authority to trample over all the serpents and scorpions and all that stuff. So while this trial is happening all around you, you're cool. You can stay cool with that. Why? By placing your trust in him. Everything may not be easy at first, but when you say within yourself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Your authority, the power that he's given you, is yours. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you made him your Lord and Savior. There is no need to get upset when others receive from God and you haven't, because it's what you've been believing for. Don't give up. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. I'm reminded of a woman who I talked about. She held on for 20-some years for her belief, for her faith, for her healing, for hair to be restored. She didn't back down. My mom, when I was three, when she was holding on to the fact that doctor said that I wouldn't be able to walk normal. I waddle now, but, you know, that's because of the weight. She held on. And many of you have stories like that, but you got to understand that God has never changed. He's never changed. He hasn't changed his ways. He hasn't changed who he is. His character and nature is the same. His word is the same. He hasn't changed. Unwavering. What changes is our mindset. What changes is what culture tells us. I'm so up. I'm over the cancel culture. If we're going to cancel something, let's cancel the doubt. See, it's okay to doubt in your mind, but don't allow that doubt to get in your heart and to come out of your mouth. Well, they said they were going to do this. No. It's okay to think it, but bring that into captivity. He never said if you doubt in your mind. He says if you doubt in your heart in Mark 11. Sometimes God's way and his will is different than what we want for our lives. So when he does reveal it to you, trust that he knows what he's doing and try to keep your words from contradicting what he has shown you. What you can see, what you can what is revealed to you, you're going to be able to get it. If you can just see it, if I can just touch, she's seen this in her mindset. And if you're able to see it in your mind, if it's revealed to you through his word, you're going to be able to receive that. And most people haven't received because they haven't seen spiritually, inwardly. The thief comes to steal away the word that's sown in your heart. So you're going to witness in the last days that there's going to be a lot more power than you've never seen in your lifetime. Because God said, I must pour out my spirit on all flesh. His power and authority will be on display, and it's time for the church to preach the word and believe the word and act on the word. We're not just hearers only. We're doers of his word. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. He says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. It wasn't all about the intellectualism that Paul was talking about. He says, now later on, he talks about when he's with more mature Christians, that he speaks of a wisdom, not of man, but of God, but it's the mysteries of God. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. The power of God never fails. Never fails. What some people are fighting against, they don't realize there's another level of demons, and the only way to come against that is by the wisdom and the power of God. So where have you stopped believing, Lord? Where have you stopped that? He's like, yeah, no, Lord, I'm still not seeing any manifestation. Well, number one, his word is the same. Second thing is, where's your heart at? Is your heart right before the Lord? Is your speech right? Check up on what you're saying. Because you can cancel out the very thing that you're believing. That quick, you can cancel it out. The very thing you're believing for, you can cancel it out. And then it's like, well, that stuff don't work, so I'm going to just go ahead and do this. I'm going to do my thing. Paul relied on the power of God, and when he was among mature believers, the wisdom that he used was the mystery of God. And people, God has already given you that when you chose to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the mysteries of God, when you chose to speak in tongues, when you have that decision. People get all caught up, do you have to speak in tongues? I said, no, you get to. I think there's maybe one instance where somebody received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they didn't. But, I mean, if you want to focus on the 10% as opposed to the 90, everyone else received. Paul received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 9 when Ananias came and laid hands on him and healed him and so that he might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, immediately he didn't, but in chapter 14, he says, I'm thankful that I speak in tongues more than all of you. When you're doing it, you're speaking the unknown wisdom, the mysteries of God. And you're speaking directly to him. And those things that you just can't get breakthrough, you can get breakthrough by speaking by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit. Now, when you do it, you just don't do it blank. You do it with the word of God. Otherwise, you might be saying something crazy. Make sure your eyes don't roll back in the dome of your head. You don't have to get crazy with it. It's like that water faucet. You could turn it on and turn it off. You have control over that. His authority is your authority. His power, he's given it to you to get results. Dunamis power is the ability to get results. That's yours. Y'all happy? You know what I'm saying, right? Tell your face. His power. His authority. Getting migraines. Tunnel vision. All the time. Come out here. I said, enough's enough. I come out here, blast the music, past the level that Dean likes it. And I danced and I praised for an hour and a half. And still, it's been maybe 12, 13 years, no migraines. Don't let the body fool you. Yesterday I was doing some exercises. It's about right here. She didn't think I could just jump up and get on there. Now, it took a lot of thought to go through again. She goes, try it on the first step. So I did it on the first step. And then I got on the other one. I hiked my britches up. Hopped right on that thing and just kept going because I couldn't stop. The weight got me. What are you believing for? What have you been saying that's kept you crippled? That's kept you in bondage. You can put your own self in bondage if you didn't know that. Just by your thought life, by your words. I never liked getting up here and speaking. There's no way I can do that. Failed communications. That's the easiest class you can take. Communications and speech. Failed it. Why? Up here. And we don't realize that we can do this in every certain areas in our lives. I just don't understand this thing about tithing and giving. I just don't understand. Well, trust God. What Pastor Brandon is up here preaching, teaching and what have you, and what he's sharing is not just for him, it's for us. That's a great opportunity for you to say, Lord, I trust in you. Please give me something so that I can sow. And I believe that you will increase what I give 100-fold. I still like the story about Brother Copeland when he did it. First time he sowed, he didn't have anything, so he sowed the pencil that he was writing with. And then he was trusting God, right? So at the end of the service, somebody came and gave him $20, and he took that. He goes, give me my pencil back, and then gave the whole 20. Been sowing ever since. Are you 100% in every area? And trusted in the Lord. Some you might be at 50. Okay, work that 50 to 55. Work that 70 to 75. You don't have to do that overnight. But as long as you continue to allow the Word of God to transform you and renew you, that's on you. Allow God to give the increase. One man sows, another man waters. God is the one who gives increase. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. Lord, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power and authority that you have given us, Jesus, so that we can live our everyday lives freely for you, Lord. And we thank you for the gospel that changes people's lives, Lord. And as we continue to be a pillar and a light in this community, walk with us and help us to live our life by faith through love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.